Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome, Ken Lee, to the early edition of the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am Tom Miller. Ken, it is early, but we are at it anyways. The season is over. The season is over.
Yep, my horrible farewell Arsene Wenger season has finally come to an end. It was miserable for me.
Yeah, I apologize for that because this is the first season we've actually done a podcast, obviously, and it happened to be like the worst Arsenal season ever.
Worst Arsenal season in at least 20 years, 22 years. So yeah, bad news. Yeah. But it's over. We forget about it.
You know, I will say this though, Ken. I watched like a 12-minute video that Arsenal TV made for Arsene Wenger. It was really good. It started out with Wenger, like, you know, way back. I didn't realize that they, in the Prem back then, they just didn't really have very many foreign managers, and that was part of the reason that it was such a big deal that he got hired. Like, I didn't realize that was it. It's the opposite now. It's only been, I mean, it's been 20 years, but it's pretty amazing, you know?
I was watching ESPN FC. Maybe it was like Goalzone or something. I don't know what I was watching after the games this weekend, but I think it's Craig Burley was saying his favorite Arsene Wenger moment was when he came over, Fergie saying, "Who is this guy coming over from Japan telling us how to play football?"
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff in this video about Fergie and Wenger, etc. But the legend leaves, Ken, and he leaves on a high note. In other places in the league, we had the race for fourth getting very interesting with the tremendous Leicester City-Tottenham game. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah, what the heck?
That was awesome. And then we had Chelsea ending on just the sourest note you can possibly end on. Liverpool blowing up and making no ifs, ands, or buts about it, which is fun. But still finishing in fourth. So we'll talk about that for sure. And, man, we have the whole entire season to recap. We're going to talk about team of the season. We're going to talk about player of the season. Moments of the season. The Ken Lee Award. Who wouldn't want that, Ken? Probably everybody.
Most prestigious award out there.
Most prestigious award out there. We'll start with the Tottenham-Leicester City game. Ken, in this game, it felt like that this should have been Arsene Wenger's final game.
No, just too. It's a little too exciting. Just needed the 1-0 victory. Let him go out.
Yeah, Pete was sweating big time on this one. Dr. Pete was. Jamie Vardy scores in the fourth minute, as he does against all the top six clubs, Ken. He's in a ridiculous season.
Yeah. I mean, he's good. I mean, it's just he's on the wrong team.
Well, he's on our England team, Ken. We're huge England fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you talk about national team, we're talking about the Prem. He's just,
yeah, I know.
He's not on a team that, he's on a forgettable team, unfortunately, especially when they have a season like they had, where it was very, like, kind of ho-hum. People just kind of forget, and people just even say, like, is Jamie Vardy still good? Of course he is.
Yeah. And he's 31, and he never played for anybody beyond Leicester City. He went on the rise with them from the very bottom clubs, etc.
Yeah. It's a pretty wild ride.
His record this year, it was a Premier League record to score on the top six clubs, the Arsenal, Tottenham, Manchester United, Manchester City, and Chelsea. He scored on all of them, Ken. And he scored again in this one. In the fourth minute he scored. Harry Kane scores in the seventh minute. And then it was on, Ken. There's just goal after goal.
Yeah.
This game ends 5-4 on a Eric Lamella with his 60th minute goal and a Christian Fuchs own goal, which I thought was Eric Lamella's goal, but I guess they changed it up. 5-4. Dr. Pete sweating it the whole time. What a good game. Fun game.
Yeah, I mean, when there's nothing really to play for except for fourth place. And
yeah, which Tottenham was in for a while because Liverpool was flying.
Exactly. Unbelievable. But, yeah, it would have been pretty crazy. I mean, unfortunately, it hurts the Liverpool a little bit more, but...
It does. I mean, Liverpool wins 4-0. Mo Salah gets the record, Ken, for goals in a 38-game season with 32 goals. An amazing record when you think about, what was it? It was Shearer, Luis Suarez, and Ronaldo, who all had 31. I was surprised that Ronaldo didn't have more, and it just goes to show you what it means to have that many goals.
Yeah, it's hard to do. Definitely hard to do, to be consistent in this league. So...
Yeah.
You have somebody like Salah coming in and doing that. Yeah. Deserves to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, in that game, Liverpool was absolutely drubbing them for the whole game. I mean, Brighton didn't have anything to play for. And, you know, it's one of those things where you and I have talked the last few weeks about, you know, Jurgen Klopp saying they don't need the points. We don't need to give them points. All these teams he's playing against that have nothing to play for. And actually, in those cases, they did have stuff to play for. They were trying not to get relegated, like West Brom. But in this case, Brighton, not really a ton to play for, and Liverpool with it all to play for. And Liverpool, a comfortable win, 4-0. Salah scored. Your boy Lovren scored, Ken. Solanke scored, and Robertson with a well-deserved goal. Ken, what do you want to say about Mo Salah, 32 goals?
He's the best player in the league. This season.
We will definitely get to that, Ken.
We will just say there's nothing much else to say. I mean, he was the leader of that attack, making up for a subpar defense, and quite honestly taking a lot of pressure off that defense. In so taking pressure off of Jurgen Klopp. So I mean he deserves, I believe, the majority of the credit when it comes to Liverpool's quote-unquote success, or I guess if you're on the other side of the argument, not success this season. But for the good things that happened with Liverpool, Mo Salah's at the front of those conversations.
Yeah, I would agree with that, along with, you know, Firmino and Mane, of course, but 32 goals speaks for itself, obviously. Just,
yeah.
I mean, how much more impact can you have on your team than 32 goals in a season? It's
not much.
He's a leader of the line and just an amazing performance here. And you know, one thing that a lot of people don't talk about, Ken, is a lot of his goals are very, very similar. They're in the box, in the 18, which actually makes it more impressive. Not a lot of penalty kick goals. They didn't have a regular penalty kick taker as they rotated through. Sometimes he took them, but Milner took them. Firmino took them. Like, a lot of different players took these goals, so it's not like he scored like 10 penalty kicks. He also,
he created a lot of these chances. They're out of nothing.
He had 11 assists on the season, I think. It was either 10 or 11.
Yeah, besides that, I mean, he created a lot of these goals out of nothing.
Oh, out of nothing. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
He would take a ball from the goal line, dribble it around the box, beat four or five defenders, and then just slot it in because nobody on Liverpool would get open.
Yeah. I mean, just an amazing feat. No, I don't think he had maybe one free kick goal. You know, when you look at Ronaldo, when he scores 40 goals, 45 goals, or even Messi, like, they always have a bunch of different goals. You know what I mean? Like, free kick goals, goals from 35 yards out, header goals for Ronaldo anyway. But honestly, that's not really the case with Mo Salah, which I think makes it almost more impressive, the fact that they're, like, dribbling around, and most of them are from, like, 16 yards away. It's amazing that he had so many interesting poacher's goals.
Yeah. Pretty wild. Pretty wild season for Mr. Salah here.
Yeah, so let's end it, end the table talk here, Ken. Manchester City hits 100 points as they win 1-0. Someone was trying to say that their late winner was, you know, dramatic. I mean, kind of. As dramatic as it can be to win the league by 19 points, Ken.
Well, and, I mean, it's not like it's the first time this has happened. In the beginning of the season, these league goals with them were happening every single
week.
Yeah,
perfect. Perfect ending.
Which was, like, part of the reason that the people, probably, i.e. me and you, were just waiting for the wheels to come off, because we were thinking, how long can they continue to score goals in the 89th and after minute.
Yeah.
And
they did.
You know, Manchester City said we can do it for 38 weeks if we want.
Yeah. That's right.
And they did it for a lot of the time. So it's not dramatic. Nothing. The only thing that would have been dramatic, and it wouldn't even have been that dramatic, is if they lost, because it wouldn't even have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered to either side.
That's very true, Ken.
Wouldn't have mattered to Southampton. No. And it wouldn't have mattered to City.
No. Manchester City goes on to win. They have 100 points, which is a Premier League record, plus 79 goal differential, a Premier League record, and 106 goals scored, Ken, a Premier League record, 32 wins, the most ever recorded in a Premier League season. I mean, we can just keep talking about it. We'll talk about it even more when we talk about the storyline of the season, which I think, Ken, I mean, they have to be the storyline of the season. Manchester City absolutely dominating the Prem.
Yeah, sure. This season.
Yeah, this season. And, Ken, the season's over. They are the champions, and the reset button gets hit in a few short months after a World Cup year, which all of their players will be in. We'll see what happens with that.
Right. Yeah. I can't remember the last time being this excited that a season was over. I don't think I could have handled the slide anymore.
I know there was a period there. I've listened to a couple podcasts because they, like, you know, I told you they come on after our regular podcast. It'll like skip back to old ones. And it is just awful for like 2 months. Like, Arsenal just kept losing. And there's nothing else to say about it. It was like
god awful.
Like, Arsenal this week fails to collect a win. You had to change your wording every week to try and like make it more interesting. But yeah, Arsenal, just a really tough season. They finish in sixth with 63 points, 9 points above seventh, which is good. But beyond that, not a lot to cheer for. Arsene Wenger goes on his way. Let's wrap up the Arsenal season, Ken. Give me a couple sentences, and that'll be it, and you'll never have to talk about this again.
Nothing. It was terrible to watch. It was just not really a will to, like, want to win games that you should be winning. When you look at losing fourth by 12 points, I mean, I could probably count 7 games where we were winning and just lost. Yeah. At least. Like, a team like this should not be doing that. All I want is for the new manager to instill a little bit of culture, a little winning culture back into this club. Fight for positions, sign players that will make the players that are starting 11 work every week. And if you don't win 1 week, you're not playing next week. That's what I want. I want a team that I expect to win. Right now, I just expect to be surprised. I don't want to be surprised anymore. I want to win.
Yeah. So,
Mr. Allegri, who I hope is the one coming over, I hope it's not Mikel Arteta. But if you're going to bring in winning ways, fine. But that's really like the bar here. And that's the new manager is not going to have much to live up to, unfortunately, in terms of winning. In terms of legacy and who he's replacing, of course. I would never disrespect the man of Arsene Wenger like that. But the last couple of seasons, what the fans want, we want to win. We want to be fighting for the title. We don't want to be fighting for fourth and finishing fifth or sixth. Fight for the title, bring in players, and let's reinstill winning ways into the club. And the fans will be behind you.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. Arsenal wins here, 1-0.
When does the statue start being erected for Wenger? You think they already have it? They'll just unveil it?
No, if they already had it, we would have heard about it. You know, probably a year or two. Not long. Maybe a year.
Right next to Thierry Henry.
Is there a Thierry Henry statue? I didn't know that.
Is there a Thierry Henry statue? Are you kidding me? It's a legend.
I didn't say he wasn't a legend. I just didn't know he didn't have a statue. That's all. Well, Arsenal wins their game, Ken. They won it at least. They lost their second to last.
Well, hey, the big positive note. And I this time I did mean to cut you off because I feel like you're going to go on some negative Arsenal tangent. No, Aubameyang has come in and he has solidified himself as a striking potential for Arsenal. I mean, he's come in, slotted right into the team in a very short amount of time. He scored 10 goals this season for Arsenal.
Yeah, I told you a couple weeks ago that I was very surprised that he's such a polished finisher. I thought he was kind of a one-trick pony, and you never know how the Dortmund products will come out.
His last couple goals have actually been from like him sliding into crosses. He's just in the right spot. He finishes every time.
But he's an excellent finisher, which is surprising to me. He's an excellent finisher.
It's good to see It's good to see at the front. Just need to shore up the defense. And I'm sure whoever's coming in already sees that as a big issue. So.
Yeah, but they have a world-class player there, you know. And Ozil, et cetera, there's a few guys on there that can stick around. But definitely the squad needs looking at.
Yeah.
Koscielny is aging. Mustafi, interestingly, Ken, when I was doing my research for Team of the Year, he ranks highly in all the advanced metrics. Like, he ranks highly in aerial duels won and tackles and passing percentage out of the back. Like,
he's not bad. Highly, he just makes it doesn't have mistakes in there. Buffoon decisions.
Buffoon decisions. I like that, Ken.
So, to me, some of those decisions warrant, like, you probably having to watch a couple of games from the side, because you make terrible, terrible decisions. But, you know, neither here nor there.
And over, Ken. Sixth place finishes Arsenal, 63 points. Arsene Wenger off into the sunset. Of course, all the respect to Arsene Wenger. It's unfortunate that the end of his stay, and you've said this before, he just stayed a little too long. But it's over now, Ken. And Arsenal is moving on.
Yeah,
sixth place, but better. Is it better to be an Arsenal fan this season, Ken, or a Chelsea fan? As Chelsea is scrapping for fourth, has a decent chance at fourth, and then finishes in fifth, and the last game of the season when they are playing for fourth. Granted, they couldn't have gotten fourth anyways, but at one point they were playing for fourth at the very beginning of this game, and they lose 3-0 to Newcastle, who has absolutely nothing to play for and have their worst game of the season.
Yeah. I mean, worst game of the season, it's kind of hard to tell because Chelsea was a disaster at points in this season. But, yeah. I wish that Liverpool lost that game just so the Chelsea loss would mean more. But it would have just been funny to me to see that happen.
Yeah.
I can't handle Conte. I can't handle...
You're not going to have to.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think he's going to be gone. The whole team... I wish Tyler was here so he could offer up some crazy defense. But again, he's not as delusional as you are. So he wouldn't have crazy excuses as if United came through with a loss like this. But
yeah,
I think that this kind of just defines the season that Chelsea had. Just puttering out of the season at the 3-0 loss to Newcastle. It just sums it up to me. The disaster that was Morata, the train wreck that was Conte, and they no leadership, no guidance on the field. I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it. They've got the players. I mean, a season ago, this team minus Costa won the league, and this season, you're in fifth.
Yeah, and I mean, a whimpering fifth, like you said.
Do you blame Champions League? Like, them dealing with the little bit of games they had in the Champions League to deal with?
Yeah, we did.
For the ruining of this season? I mean, I don't know. Like, if you can't handle the Champions League, then you're not really an elite club.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for Chelsea, Ken, honestly, was their terrible transfer window last summer. I don't know if it's Conte's fault. Conte makes it sound a lot like somebody else is buying the groceries, like we've said. But I think it all started with the mismanagement of Diego Costa. I mean, he's a tough player to manage. He's a clown. He's a jerk. All this other stuff. I mean, it's well documented. He got in a bust-up with Conte in a training ground incident. And they were lucky that he finished the season last season because they were ready to divorce very early, Ken. If you remember, it was like February.
Yeah.
So you're one of your most influential players, you know, having that kind of rift with him. And then with this season, it was David Luiz right away. I mean, you had Conte. He was on the squad until January. Like, he was still a Chelsea player, and of course he didn't play at all this season.
I think he's still a Chelsea player. I just don't know. Oh, I don't know how much more of a chance he has of Tyler playing.
Oh, he's not a Chelsea player anymore. Like that. It's not a loan to Atletico. He's gone.
Who?
Diego Costa. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Luis. Yeah. You're right. He is. He's still
a Chelsea
player.
Switch topics so quickly. You can't even keep up with yourself.
I really, you know, Ken, it's like 5 o'clock in the morning, and the trash men just drove by. Like, anyway, yeah, David Luiz still a player, but the mismanagement of Diego Costa is the main thing to me. That started it all, and then
impulse buy of Morata, I think, is just
they missed Lukaku. And I mean, they might say, well, we never had Lukaku, but I mean, all signs point to Lukaku. There was a lot of smoke around there, but I mean, we're not there.
But I mean,
we're not there.
Passerby reader would have just said, oh man, I can't believe Lukaku plays for Chelsea.
Yeah, that's what they would have thought because he had played for them before. But maybe, Ken, maybe they wanted Morata because Conte had managed him before. Maybe they did want him. He was a known entity to Conte. Either way, it didn't work out.
Failed miserably, and I don't think that he'll be a Chelsea player next season.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Juventus is sniffing around. We'll see.
Good. He can't handle this league, I'll tell you that.
And then Bakayoko, Ken, he was terrible. $42 million, plays the exact same role as N'Golo Kanté, like a defensive midfielder who has no offensive capabilities at all, and he's worse than Kanté. Kanté's one of the best.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, Bakayoko, that was wasted. 45 or so million pounds. Ross Barkley, Ken?
Yeah, what was that?
Why? Why buy Ross Barkley?
You got to buy somebody if you're Chelsea.
Yeah, just desperation buys. That was a terrible buy. And Danny Drinkwater, middling.
What was that? It's so weird. Like, center midfielder. Weird purchases. And this is where they find themselves, in fifth. Not really much to talk about when it comes to Chelsea, except for the train wreck that was. That really started from the beginning of the season, before the season even started, and that train just kept rolling.
Yeah, Ken, did you think that there was a possibility going into this season that Alvaro Morata would have almost more yellow cards than goals?
If you'll remember correctly, I knew he would not score a lot of goals this season. It's the few things that I have been correct on this season, but I knew that that baby-faced Morata would not be able to handle it in the Prem.
Yeah. Yeah, and sure enough, he lets Chelsea down, but they let themselves down. The team collapsed. They still have the FA Cup to play for.
Yeah.
I was thinking to myself when I read the headline, after watching this game, this terrible game where the team was not up for it at all, like, should Conte be in charge of the FA Cup final?
Just fire him now.
The team doesn't want to play for him. It's, you know, like, they finished just 3-0 against Newcastle, and Newcastle doesn't have anything to play for, and Chelsea has a Champions League spot to play for, at least going into the game. Like, Ken, do you think that he should be the manager of the FA Cup final? The team won't play for him.
You're big on places, so maybe Newcastle, if they didn't win, they wouldn't have finished in the top 10. I mean, top 10's pretty good for a newly promoted team.
They would have finished in, like, 14th. They could have finished in 13th or 14th, yeah. But still, I mean, that's...
I'm not saying there's something to play for.
Yeah, playing for pride versus playing for fourth.
Yeah, of course. Chelsea should have won that game. They were very capable of winning that game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they lost, though, Ken. So,
yeah, fire Conte, I guess. What harm could it do? I mean, I don't think that his career at Chelsea is hanging on the fact if you win the FA Cup, you can keep your job.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's already decided.
Yeah, one way so it doesn't matter. I guess fire him now. Who cares?
Yeah, I think it's decided. That's why I think he should go.
Just say, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, well... No, he already said that he wanted to be the manager next year. I don't know. You never know if he's just trying to deflect before big games or something like that to try to not make it the storyline. But I really think that he's not there. We'll look up the sack race odds a little later. But Chelsea finishes in fifth with a whimper. They really fell out of it. They were pretty much eliminated from fourth place when they lost to Tottenham. But they, you know, when they lost to United and that stretch there in the winter where Conte was what we had talked about in the beginning of the season, Ken, he went as low as he did high last year, you know, like when he was jumping into the stands and annoying you and me. His team was rolling with him. And we said at the beginning of this year that it would be interesting to see what happens if Chelsea doesn't have the results that they had last year where they were rolling and they won, you know, 11 matches in a row, 12 matches in a row, 13 matches in a row. You know, I wanted to see what they looked like when they weren't doing well. And that's what it was, Ken. He was wet and he was cold and he was sad and the team played accordingly.
Yep. Yep.
All right, RIP Chelsea, fifth place, welcome to Europa. On to Liverpool, Ken. 75 points, plus 46 goal differential. And, I mean, after all the pomp and circumstance that surrounding their front three and their attacking football, they finish in fourth. Real quick, Ken, successful or unsuccessful?
Successful.
Yeah, in a Champions League final. If they hadn't finished in fourth, we would change that narrative. But
no, I don't think you could.
Fun season. Yet. Yeah.
Even if they finish in fifth, if they go on to beat Real Madrid, the season is still successful because you still have everything you need next season.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. The recruiting drive. They already have a player bought. Keita is already purchased for 60 mil. So I don't know how much money they have to spend. I mean, they did just sell Coutinho for like 130 can or more, but they also bought Van Dijk.
But that money's gone though with Van Dijk. And Keita coming in.
Yeah, but Keita was already bought last summer. So.
Yeah, no, but maybe like I don't know, but you don't think that maybe like you're assuming that we're getting the Coutinho money anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not really sure. But yeah, so Coutinho brings him in a ton of money, and it'll be interesting to see what they do. They have fourth place. They're an exciting team. They're in a Champions League final. That's all checks for the recruitment drive. Obviously, Ken, they need probably another center back. I think Van Dijk's good enough, and I think they have to replace their goalie.
Van Dijk is definitely good enough. I mean, yeah. He's ridiculous. The problem is he's only one man and defense that they play four.
Yeah,
so you need someone next to him. And then I think for whatever it's worth, I do believe that the outside backs for Liverpool, those young kids, I mean, Robertson. The on-the-job training really did work out. And it was a risk, I think, Klopp to do that. But at the end of the day, I don't think he had a choice. I think he had no one else that could play in the positions. But they've kind of come into their own, and they started holding their own back there, and they're not disasters like they were in the beginning of the season. So
yeah,
the defense can be shored up, I think, with another center back.
Robertson, I think, really came into his own. And Trent Alexander-Arnold, the young Englishman, you know, he had some tough games against tough clubs, but he's going to get better.
Well, he's like seven, so.
You're old, Ken. That's what it is. You're just old. But yeah,
How old is he? Was it 19?
He's 19.
Yeah, that's super young.
Yeah.
It's an important position to be playing. And of course he got, you know, embarrassed and, you know, kind of manhandled a couple times. But, I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, the best defenders in the world get embarrassed, you know, certain weeks by certain clubs. And I just think that I think they're a center back away from challenging for the title, question mark? I don't think so. But, you know, definitely winning a couple more of these games that they lost due to some leaky goals coming in.
Yep, I would agree with that. They finish in fourth, 2 points behind third, where Tottenham sits, Ken, and Harry Kane, 30 goals, amazing. How was their season to you? Successful or unsuccessful?
Tottenham?
Yeah, Tottenham.
It's unsuccessful, and I think it will be like that for a long time. No, and that's trophies. Not me coming from a hateful place. That's, I think, just looking at what they've been able to do over the last five or six seasons, they've gone exactly to the same place, minus finishing second. They finished second that one season, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So I never see anything different from them. Like, from a team that wants, they say they want to win. Actually, no, they don't even say they want to win the title. Their manager says they don't need trophies. But now they're coming into this new stadium. I think that there's going to be a lot. And I think that The new stadium might be the only reason that Harry Kane stays one more season. But without this new season, you'd be forced to sell Harry Kane. And you still might be forced to sell Harry Kane, by the way.
You might.
Because of this new stadium. You're going to have bills to pay, and you're going to need to cash in on somebody that is a high-priced commodity, and that's Harry Kane. Might even lose Christian Eriksen. I mean, bottom line is, these players are not going to sit around that are being considered world-class players that are being touted by the best clubs in the world on a team that never looks like they're going to win anything.
Yeah, I don't see trophies
in their future. Do you?
Well, I think they can contend for trophies.
Okay, a league title. Do you see a league title in the next one handful of years? I do not.
I can't look that far ahead, but I would say that they would be outsiders. Vegas odds, you know, probably fourth in the title odds and a distant fourth.
I'm just saying, you're coming into a new stadium. You don't look like you're going to win a title soon. You're going to maybe face the very real possibility of having to sell off your stars just to pay for, you know, the future of the club, which is the new stadium, and start looking to the future of new players, even though these Harry Kane's super young. But he's probably worth 100.
Maybe more. He's going to be
maybe more, like 125.
The number nines are so rare right now that, dude, he's 150 plus, I'm telling you.
Yeah, then you're definitely selling him.
Yeah, well, I actually think it was barely a success for Tottenham, because I think a big part of Tottenham is growing their brand. You know, staying in the top four again. I think this is the fifth year in a row, and that's better than any of the other big clubs, quote-unquote. I think that is a big deal. Growing
your
brand. In
the last 5 years, yes.
Yeah, but growing your brand and sticking there. Lots of teams have dabbled in the top four in the last, you know, 25 years. But not everybody stuck there. I mean, even Manchester United didn't stick there. Manchester City just got there. You know what I mean? And Tottenham is stuck there. Even Arsenal, one of the greatest things about Arsene Wenger was how long he kept them in four.
I will definitely tell any Tottenham fan to be very cautious when the success rate is based on finishing in fourth. Because I'll guarantee you that you'll finish in fourth every season.
Yeah, that's very true.
For the foreseeable future.
Wenger did default to fourth. But yeah, I mean, Tottenham, to me, it was successful because of that reason. Because they built their brand. Their brand is going to be further built by their stadium being in Champions League again.
Absolutely.
You know, yes, it's a huge offseason for them. And I think if they don't have Poch, even more than Harry Kane, to me, managers are more important than single players. I think if they don't have Poch, then they're in big trouble next year. And by big trouble, though, instead of finishing in third, you know, they finish in fifth or sixth.
I read an article,
that big club range.
Yeah, I read an article saying that Pochettino's demanded money to buy players, or he might not be there.
You never know. I mean, there's
like, obviously jobs that's open, a very weird thing to say in a year that you're moving into the new stadium. Like, you have to know that if you had $100 million to spend this season, you're probably going to have $50 million next season to spend if you're moving into a new stadium.
Yeah, yeah. I think it all depends on those dominoes.
This is a very
dropping,
very weird, you know, thing to say. Like, you have to imagine that if anyone is sold, that money's not going to be put into the transfer budget.
Yeah, you know that better than most with
but
Arsenal
maybe it
having
will.
To sell players.
No, maybe it will, though. Who knows? Maybe Arsenal just ran a very tight ship for safety's sake. Didn't really need to be like that. We'll see.
Yeah. A very interesting offseason. Probably the team with the most hedging on the offseason, you know, between Poch and Harry Kane. They're two biggest figures at the club. And Eriksen, obviously. I think Eriksen had a tremendous year, and that means that Real Madrid, who are looking to replace some of these older players, possibly like Modric, I mean, Eriksen fits that role.
Yep.
So Tottenham finishes in third. We'll move to Manchester United, a very boring last game, which is probably fitting. A boring result. They finished second on 81 points, plus 40 goal differential. second in least amount of goals to Manchester City. We've talked a lot about Manchester United this season, and the one thing I will say is at least Jose Mourinho makes Manchester United a conversation piece all the time. That's about as far as I will go. I'm happy with the improvement. Second place is an improvement over sixth, a distant sixth, Ken, which we finished in last year. We could get a
that's
trophy.
That's what it is.
It's terrific.
Improvement.
Hooray.
It's not great. It's an improvement.
I would say that's a good way to describe it.
It's progression. Progression is always positive.
It's still annoying.
But Mourinho making Man United a talking point, I don't think that he's made Man United a talking point. I think he's made himself a talking point.
He's always a talking point. It's always him.
Yeah, I mean, think he overshadows every club that he goes to. What's Mourinho doing, not what Man United's doing.
It's the black cloud, Ken. It follows him as he calls his players out, his staff out, everybody out. His assistant manager is leaving him after 17 years. It's not it didn't seem like there are any issues. I think the guy wants to be a manager, from what Jose said. And maybe he'll be the manager of Arsenal, Ken. You never know.
The assistant?
The assistant that United had, Rui Fara.
Well, I got an email a couple of weeks ago asking if they wanted me to come over and interview for the job, so.
I believe it.
I was kind of busy, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Didn't fit my calendar.
I know, Ken. But Manchester United wins 1-0 here. They play their second squad. I would say it's an improvement. It's a good way to describe it. It's an improvement. They are playing for silverware. You'd have to favor them pretty heavily based on the way Chelsea played, but it is a one-off final. Maybe Chelsea team shows up for that one.
Yeah, this depends. That Chelsea team, I mean, I would imagine if Conte came in, bought them some scones and some tea, they'd like him for a couple of minutes, play for him. I mean, we've said it before. I've just never seen like such a group of players, and it doesn't matter who the players are. It's just like gather around each other and just say, you know what? I don't like this guy. Let's not play today. Well, it's just so like it's so weird to me.
Well, Ken, you have seen it because they've done it so many times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like outside of Chelsea, I've never seen that before. Like it's so crazy. Get these players making a boatload of wages every week, and they allow like their emotion, like it's like they're middle schoolers. Kind of practice this hard this week. I'm not playing for them the weekend.
Well, I think that's a management problem.
Pay me though.
I think that's like an upper. I think that comes from the owner. The idea that the players have the power. It's the same at
Real
Madrid.
Managers disposable. And the players are here, and we paid a lot more for the players, and we have invested a lot more in the players.
Yeah,
no, I got you. That makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but that rationale, like of an outsider looking in, makes sense. It's just that needs to change.
I don't think it does change, though. I think it comes from the owner, and I think it'll always be there. And they've still won some titles, even with that kind of mentality, but they've never had sustained success, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
so
there goes whatever. Ken.
Yeah, so that's it for the season, Ken. Now we're going to move to the accolades. The story of the year, which we already hinted at, to me has to be Manchester City rolling through the Prem in historic fashion against probably the strongest Prem that we've ever seen, at least in terms of competition for the title, with six teams that were built to challenge. I think the most telling stat beyond all the ones we've already read is that seventh place Burnley finished with a negative goal differential, and that to me is indicative indicative of the fact that the top six were so strong, Ken.
Yeah,
so City is the story of the year to me.
I would agree.
How about underachiever of the year? And that can be a player or a team.
Underachieving player, I'd say Morata.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that for sure. I think the underachiever to me, I mean, I think Dr. Pete and I were talking about this too. He said Morata and Chelsea. I don't think that it was out of the realm of possibility for them to finish in fifth. We actually said that in the season preview where we said we thought they'd finish in fifth with all the extra games. To me, it was actually Everton, Ken. If you remember, people were picking Everton in the top four.
Well, yeah, they spent a ton of money.
Yeah, 160 mil in the offseason.
Let's not forget.
Buy a whole new team.
They bought a whole new team, but don't expect them to finish in the top four.
And I didn't expect them to finish in the top four, but they should have. They're batting relegation.
Why would you spend 150 million pounds to finish in the same spot that you finished last season? In the same area of the table.
The exact same area, yeah.
There's no that when you spend 150, you expect some type of movement. And I'm not talking about movement down to where you're so much into the relegation battle, you fire the manager that you just gave a check for 150 million to go buy players. That wild. Underachievers, Everton for sure. I mean, I'd put West Ham up there too.
Yeah, West Ham battling relegation to the last 4 weeks for sure.
Yeah, but underachiever, I mean, I think Morata just takes that on his own. Just because of the amount he cost.
Yeah, being 70 million, playing for a title-winning team like Chelsea, and then, you know, just dropping the ball. Having that stretch in the middle of the season where he just didn't score at all. And they dropped during that time period, the most crucial time period for them, he disappeared or just picked up yellow cards.
Yeah.
Okay, Ken, overachiever of the season.
Mo Salah.
Okay. That's a good shout. He had 15 goals. That was his max, or his season high from seasons past, 15 for him in other leagues. You know, leagues that aren't this difficult, Ken. And this year he scores 32. I can absolutely make a case for Mo Salah. That being said, I believe that he will follow it up with another solid season, but you never know.
I'm not saying overachiever, like he's not going to do it again. I'm just saying like he's never played this well before.
No, that's a great shout. For me, I picked Burnley. You know, they have, I think, the 16th highest payroll in the Prem, and they finished in 7th place and challenged for 5th and 6th for a while. They were very consistent.
Weren't they up there last season, though, too?
Not in the same area because they weren't in Europe. He's bringing European football to Burnley, which is amazing. Sean Dyche is. I mean, I don't think that he will leave to go to the Everton job. That would be very surprising to me.
Be the point? Unless it's money.
Resources make a big deal, though. If Burnley can't do any better, then, what do you say?
It will come down to how much money they have to spend next season on players. And who wants to go to Burnley?
That's true. Dr. Pete had Newcastle as the overachievers, you know, coming up, being promoted, and finishing in the middle of the table, smack dab in the middle. Really a great stretch after Christmas, despite having all the ownership problems, Ken, where they're selling the team and they can't give Rafa any money because they're selling the team, and they had a very dramatic backroom
situation. That's Newcastle, though.
It is. But Rafa Benitez finishing in 10th place, playing very well in the second half of the season. Also, Dr. Pete had Lewis Dunk as the overachiever with his 4 own goals, Ken.
What a jerk.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt bad, man. Like, half of those, they're just not his fault. It's not like he's just passing the ball back to his goalie too hard or something. It's like the ball, he's trying to head the ball away and it goes in the net. Just a tough season for him, but I don't know. It's pretty funny, Ken. It's still pretty funny.
That's funny, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny like Phil Jones, you know? Funny. So, Ken, who is your Muppet of the season?
Mourinho.
Mourinho. Dr. Pete had Morata or Mourinho. For me, I also had Morata, but I could definitely see the Mourinho shout. For Mourinho, just for me, him calling his players out all the time, like young players.
Every week.
Very publicly, making fun of his own players and calling them out, getting into fights with them, etc. Besides that, Ken, what's it to you, Morata or Mourinho?
It's Mourinho. Morata's not a jerk. Mourinho is a jerk.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's very public about every single thing he says, and he talks as if he's always right, never wrong. and it's always somebody else's fault or something else's fault. Like, he's terrible. To me, he's not even a good manager, honestly. Like,
he wins a lot.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be so... I think it's going to be... I hope, for my sake anyway, I think it's going to be very long for you, a long 5 years for you with him at the helm.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I've said this before, I just don't like him calling out individual players. So that's your vote for Muppet of the Year.
Well, how about you won't call yourself out, you got to call somebody.
Yeah, I guess so. How about most fun story of the year, Ken? I had Crystal Palace coming back from the dead. Remember, they didn't score a goal for 7 weeks. A single goal, and they lost every single game to start the season and fired their coach very quickly.
Crazy. And then they end in 11th.
Yeah. Roy Hodgson.
What does that say for the bottom half of the table?
It says that if you can go on any kind of run over the span of, like, 7 games, you can get out of the relegation.
There'll be three other teams that just want to lose more than you did in the beginning.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Most fun? I mean, I don't really know. I mean, unfortunately, this season, with the way City was playing, you almost had to take fun in other people's downfall. I mean, I liked watching West Ham get smacked every week.
Hey, they got
but
a new manager.
But that was not because of West Ham. It was really because of Joe Hart and Chicharito coming in and everyone touting it around like it's going to be so great and it's just going to put them into Europe and... It almost relegated them. Could you imagine
really
England's number one
really
getting relegated?
Well, he's not.
Well, he won't
not
be the number one now, hopefully.
Yeah, coming into the season, for sure. Yeah, Brother Joey had Chicharito as the underachiever of the season. Like, boy, he just didn't do anything. You know what I mean? Like, he was completely worthless. And we said this in the beginning of the season. We said, you know... He's like a finishing piece to like a title winning club. You know, he comes off the bench and scores goals. He scores goals against bad teams, like that kind of stuff. He's not a guy to take you up 10 spots in the table. So
I mean, you also have it's pretty fun to see three new teams still here next season.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
pretty
rare to all three stay,
and all three beat Manchester United. Sure,
that was fun too.
I mean, we've kind of hinted at this already. The surprise of the year, we already said. I mean, Mo Salah, right?
Mo Salah, surprise of the year. I'd like to say that Morata being a complete waste of time was a surprise, but I knew that was going
to
happen.
Not to you.
Surprise? I mean, again, you go back to three newly promoted teams.
Yeah.
Still coming in. I mean, next season there's going to be... basically six new teams in the league.
Yeah,
because these three, they're still new. A lot of analysts still say Huddersfield are definitely getting relegated next season. I don't know how you say that this season.
Yeah, I didn't like that, but yeah.
But, I mean, that's pretty negative. But, I don't mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, six new teams, basically. That's pretty wild. Like, we got no Stoke next season. It's good for away games.
Yeah. The Stoke trap. Stoke trap, Ken.
But yeah, I mean, I don't really... I see if Burnley here as a surprise. I don't see Burnley as a surprise because they're around where they were last season.
Yeah. How about, Ken, how about moment of the year? I had Manchester City over Manchester United at Old Trafford. That pretty much wrapped the title up. They went, I think...
In terms of wrapping the title up, yes. I mean, mathematically speaking, of course...
Yeah,
it wasn't done, but I mean, I'd say that was probably moment of the year. I can't think of anything else. Maybe moment of the year was Wenger coming out and saying that this was his last season.
Okay, I could see that.
I mean, that's a pretty big thing. I mean, he's been here for 22 years.
Yeah.
So I mean, that kind of maybe overshadows it, but maybe it doesn't, just because of the run of form that he's been on for the last decade. Maybe it was just some people just was like, okay, it's been way too late, but.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. Another shout for it. I mean, this is, This is where I think Dr. Pete's homerism is coming out. He said Dele Alli's two goals against Chelsea to break Chelsea and erase a 20-year losing streak and essentially clinch Champions League. I mean, for him, that could be the moment of the year, but I think it's still
for a Tottenham fan, yeah.
For City against United. I think it actually, you know, that 2-1 score line that, you know, I'm glad that United recovered from it, honestly, because a blow like that, you can sometimes sink into the depths, and United just kept, I wouldn't say puttering, but they, you know, they kept chugging, whereas City just kept flying. You know, they won, after that, they won more matches and finished with the most games won in a row, and that really propelled them to a title. So that's the moment of the year. Ken, I want to get your award. I'm going to give my award first, and then I want to hear your Kenley award. Then we'll do the player of the year, manager of the year, and the team of the year. So the Thomas L. Miller Award, Ken, handed out annually, given to Jamie Vardy, scoring against all the top six clubs and scoring 20 Premier League goals with one of the highest conversion rates in the league. Out of any player to take shots, I give it to Jamie Vardy, Ken.
There you go. I give mine to Mo Salah.
Fair enough.
I think that Mo Salah's been the best player in the league, and I think that he will be disrespected on the world scale.
We'll see.
I just think that that's going to happen. I mean, I saw someone saying, did Mo Salah have a better season than Neymar? Come on. Of course he did.
Of course he did.
But Neymar scored, 19 goals? 16? Yeah, not even 19. It costs like $500 billion to get him, and he wants to leave already. He wants to go back to Spain. The guy's a loser. Mo Salah comes in, no one expects anything out of him. Except for, you know, playing his role as an attacking winger, and he comes out and I think the single reason that Liverpool even finished in fourth.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. And that's not take away from the fact that everybody thought he was a depth buy that he didn't even start.
Maybe the award of the year should go to Mourinho, because he is responsible for selling out of the league Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne, two of the best players in the English Premier League today.
Yeah, they absolutely talk about that, for sure. I mean, you can't forget it.
So, Mourinho, again, just put another check in the buffoon column for Mourinho.
Yep, check in the column for sure, Ken. By the way, I looked up Antonio Conte's Premier League sack odds. 1-1, leading the race. Yikes, I would have to say that he's pretty much gone.
Well, yeah, I mean, he'll get sacked because he won't quit.
Yeah, actually, you know what's interesting to me is they have Arsene Wenger in third in the sack odds at 12-1. I guess that would be because if he doesn't resign, he will be fired. I don't know. That's really weird to me.
Well, he did.
Yeah, so I don't understand why. I guess we should put a bet on that, Ken, because the odds are 12-1 here. I mean, it's not easy to make that money.
He's not getting fired. He's resigning.
Yeah, so that's weird. Dr. Pete Award went to Moussa Dembélé for being the most underrated player on a big team.
Get out of here. He's not allowed to give awards anymore.
Let's move on. Player of the Year. You said yours is Mo Salah. We've talked about it for the whole episode. Mine is Kevin De Bruyne still, for being the best player on the best team and encompassing the type of play that they needed, scoring huge goals, most assists in the league, just an incredible season for him, an incredible season for City, and playing in almost every single game for the team that won the league by 20 points.
We're doing Player of the Year now?
Yeah.
No, we were doing our own awards, I thought. Player of the Year? I mean, I still get mine to Mo.
Yeah, I know you did. We transitioned, and I said that you would give yours to Mo, because you've already said, like, three times in the podcast, you give it to Mo, Ken.
100%.
I mean, you gave it to Mo. He had 32 goals. You said that Liverpool would, where would they finish without him? Which is, you know, that's enough. That's enough of an argument, really. But for me, you can't go and have a historic season without a linchpin player, and I think De Bruyne was that for Manchester City. On the same vein, manager of the year, Ken? Pep?
It's got to be Pep, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Pete had Rafa Benitez for getting through.
Can't believe it didn't say Pochettino. Congratulations, Dr. Pete.
Not for me. You can't. They only had like 44 points on the season. I mean, they finished in 10th, but in any other season, that's like 44 points is like 16th place.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Pep for me. Just being the best at identifying which players you need and buying those players and then putting them into a system. They spent a ton of money, but they did it brilliantly, Ken. Probably the best I've ever seen, really, in terms of buying players and not really missing on them, you know? Like, they didn't really have any misses.
No, none.
So, manager of the year, Pep. All right, Ken, let's finish with team of the year here, and then we are going to sign off for the season. We might do something for the FA Cup briefly, right? So let's finish it up here. I'm going to just give you the team of the season, Ken, and you tell me if you want to sub somebody out. I have Sterling at left wing, Kane at center forward, Salah at right wing. How's that suit you?
It suits me fine, but I will tell you that all the professionals did not put Kane on their starting 11.
He had 30 goals.
I'm just saying. Didn't make any of the expert commentators starting 11 that I read.
Well, they're dumb. That's why we listen to this podcast, not their dumb podcast. okay, how about in the center midfield, I have Silva, Eriksen, and KDB.
Sure.
Yeah, I think Silva has scored a ton of big goals, had a ton of assists. Eriksen, same thing. Kevin De Bruyne, I mean, just absolutely brilliant season for him. Pogba was way too inconsistent, obviously. He's in there. I also want to mention Wilfred Zaha, who was huge for Crystal Palace. Yeah. Had an awesome year.
Definitely.
But yeah, Silva, Eriksen, KDB. And then the defensive players, Marcus Alonso, Jan Vertonghen, James Tarkowski, Ken, of Burnley as a center back.
There we go.
Who was absolutely brilliant, especially in the eyeball test, Ken. He was just leading the line for a Burnley team that overachieved by so much, but really played well. And honestly, it's almost more indicative of the top four, top six, and the center backs that shouldn't really be on this list.
Yep.
And Vertonghen had a brilliant year, especially passing. He really pulls the strings from the back. And then Kyle Walker on the right back. I can't think of anybody else I'd have at center back. I mean, at one point I was considering Chris Smalling, but it just can't be him. You know what I mean? It just can't be.
No,
goes for a lot of players, like Mustafi and the center backs of Manchester City. They just make too many high-profile mistakes.
I would like to say they've been a little disrespectful for not allowing Lovren to be on your starting defense.
I mean,
that's my last Liverpool dig of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he did score in the last game of the season, and you know, he played better, but he definitely needs to be replaced. David De Gea and goal, Ken.
Of course.
Golden Gloves, Manchester player of the season for the fifth year in a row after Jose Mourinho said, if your goalie's your player of the season, there's something wrong. It wasn't the fifth year in a row, but I think it's the fifth time he's the player of the season. And Jose changed his mind after he was voted a player of the season, that it was okay for a goalie to be there. So
he's an idiot.
That's it for the Premier League, Ken. I want to thank you, and I want to thank Tyler for putting all of your time into it. This is the first time that we've done a podcast so early. Usually I make you guys stay up late, so I appreciate you guys all the time that you've taken. We will do some podcasts throughout the year, throughout the summer anyway, besides our World Cup podcast. I don't know what we'll do for the FA Cup, maybe a quick one or something like that. But Ken, thank you very much. And anything you want to say?
I got nothing. Look,
next year will be better.
Next year will be better. Arsenal will be better.
Arsenal will be better. It's just, I do feel bad for you.
One thing is for sure, Mourinho will not be better.
No, he will not. But I feel bad for you, Ken, that you had to spend a whole season every single week getting to talk about Premier League football, and Arsenal was so forgettable.
Next season will be different.
But next season will be different, Ken. We have an awesome World Cup to look forward to. We will be putting that podcast out in the next week or so, depending on schedule. And, man, what an awesome season. Manchester City, the relegation battle, Manchester United, Arsenal, all the storylines, Chelsea crashing down, Antonio Conte's hair. Just a great season, Ken.
To the next one, Thomas. To the next one.
To the next one, buddy. For Ken Lee, Tyler Offeld, I am Tom Miller, telling everyone to have an awesome summer. Like I said, we'll be back with a couple episodes here and there. Let's get ready for the World Cup, Ken.
Let's do it.